Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Health Talk Radio Africa. Listeners, where does your child go to relieve themselves? How is your child's human waste disposed of? Yes, these are tough questions. The reason is that poor sanitation slows down your child's growth. Listeners, the Global Nutrition Report is out and makes for grim reading on the state of our African continent. Across the African continent, a huge percentage of children are too short for their age. When a child is too short for their age, that is known as stunted growth. Even worse, poor sanitation, more specifically, open defecation, is still rampant across Africa. Listeners, how many times have you seen a child defecate out in the open? After a short time, children are crawling, running around, and playing where open defecation took place. In the 1970s, doctors, scientists discovered that in regions where poor sanitation, children's growth was interfered with. The children did not grow well. Their height is too short for their age. These children can be fed well, but the growth remains stubbornly slow. More than 50 years of nutrition programs around the African continent have not managed to eradicate the children's stunting rates. In today's episode, we discuss the link between poor sanitation and your child's growth. We have a very special guest who deals with health and sanitation issues at national level and gives a glimpse into community-based solutions. Our podcast today deals with a topic that uses language that may be offensive to sensitive listeners. Caution is encouraged. Listeners, we are more than 20 years into the 21st century. How is it that we are still dealing with open defecation in our African communities? Poor sanitation is damaging our children. This is a tragedy. A quick look at the statistics across the African continent, the picture is the same. The regions with the highest open defecation rates also have the highest numbers with children who are too short for their age. The Global Nutrition Report bears it all on how poorly we are doing. West Africa region is the most affected, with close to 25% of the population practicing open defecation. And a total of 30% of their children are stunted or too short for their age. The countries with the lowest rates of open defecation are found in Northern Africa and one or two countries in Southern Africa, where open defecation is close to 0%. As a result, these countries have low child stunting rates. For East and Central Africa, the regional statistics are not available. However, if you look at individual countries of Eastern and Central Africa, open defecation is close to 35% of the population defecating out in the open. Not surprising. Close to 30% of the children are too short for their age. Globally, 55% of stunted children are a result of open defecation. More than half of the world's population of children. Listeners, before I welcome our very important guest, allow me to explain one important point. By now you're wondering, how does poor sanitation where your child defecates affect their growth? How does poor disposal of human waste affect your child's growth, specifically the height for their age? When human and even animal feces come into contact with bare soil, large numbers of intestinal bacteria go into the ground. Even after the feces has dried up and been swept away, the bacteria from the feces has already entered the ground. Now, as children are crawling, running around, and playing on the open ground, they put things into their mouths as they explore the environment. This way, the children eat large amounts of fecal bacteria. The bacteria will enter the intestines, cause health problems such as diarrhea, and inflame the intestines. This condition is called environmental enteropathy, otherwise known as EEE. The damage does not stop at the intestines. The fecal bacteria gets past the intestines into the bloodstream. The bacteria then set off a continuous low-level infection and immune reaction. The child does not display any symptoms of illness, but the low-level infection and immune reaction drains off energy and nutrients from the child. Energy and nutrients that could be used for growing are drained off. Over time, the child does not attain the right height for their age. Their growth is stunted off. The worst part is that the more stunted a child's growth, the more the brain, the kidneys, and other organs are affected. Once the brain is affected, the child's IQ is affected. The lower IQ will show up in poor school performance and later on work wages. As adults, these stunted children will also be at a higher risk for diabetes and stroke. In the past 10 years, doctors and scientists have discovered that a child can be well fed, but they will be stunted if there is poor sanitation. Poor sanitation is costly to communities and the African continent. We lose out on a large number of human resources. Children who could grow into healthy adults and contribute to nation building do not achieve their physical growth and mental growth, all because of being continuously exposed to fecal bacteria. Solutions to poor sanitation are multi-level. Starting at the household to national level, Health Talk Radio Africa today is extremely privileged to welcome a person who tackles the problem of sanitation and health at the national level. Poor sanitation, open defecation has damaged our children for years. Nutrition programs are not working. African governments, doctors, scientists have had to think out of the box. Listeners, I am privileged to welcome Dr. Mary Karumba, an economist. She holds a PhD in economics from the University of Cape Town, South Africa. Dr. Karumba works with the State Department for Economic Planning in Kenya. She utilizes research to understand the cause of underdevelopment, and she crafts solutions towards development goals. She was appointed to the National Information Platform for Food and Nutrition and as a Project Liaison Officer by the State Department for Economic Planning. Dr. Karumba is part of a project team that develops and implements research to uncover the relationship between sanitation facilities accessible to children and nutrition outcomes such as stunting. Thank you, Dr. Mary Karumba. Welcome to Health Talk Radio Africa. Really, thank you for your time.
It's a pleasure.
I have to be really honest. We are in the 21st century, surely. Yes. And we are talking about open defecation.
Yes.
And as you have heard, the open defecation affects the children's growth.
Yes.
What economic losses can you see from your point of view, from the State Department of Planning? What do you see that we are losing?
So the economic losses are at different levels. They are massive. You have first to take this child for treatment to stop the diarrhea. So those are health expenses. That's the first line of what you would see as a consequence of that exposure to unclean environment or poor sanitation environment. So that's the first round. The second round is that this is a child. Mostly we are talking for the purposes of this. We are talking about children who are less than 5 years.
Those are children. Yes.
These are children who are either a mother or a caregiver. And for the typical rural household or the average household, the child is with the mother. So the mother has to leave what she does for a living to take care of this child. Again, those are lost days of work and by extension wage. So you add that to the medical expenses. And especially to a country where we don't, we have a lot of what you call out-of-pocket expenses on
medical
Medicare.
Care is very expensive.
Very expensive in these countries. Now you add the mother's loss. So I'm just trying to show you the how we proceed with the losses. So that is one child, one mother.
Yes.
So the more children you have getting infected, the higher, you know,
the losses. Yes.
The other thing is that once a child gets stunted, you know, as a result of those repeated events because of poor sanitation, it affects their long-term growth. So if you are stunted when you are young, we know very well that it affects your developmental milestones.
Yes.
So you will have children manifesting some weaknesses, especially like the learning abilities or any other physical abilities, just because they got. So you'll have adults manifesting that limitation because they suffered malnutrition caused by the diarrhea.
Yes.
And they are suffering this when they're supposed to be in the labor market. So that is the other.
This is years later now.
Very many years later. So there is the loss that you'll see now.
The children.
And there
age.
Is the loss that you are going to see when that child is
an
of
adult
labor production age. So this person would have been a very bright engineer, but they did not get that because the stunting and other sicknesses emanating from this lack of sanitation or attributed to lack of sanitation you know, dragged them back. So wow. that is the way the losses are.
I'm seeing you've got some data over here. Can you share some statistics?
We managed to collect 18,000 children. So out of those 18,000 children, we noticed that the level of stunting of children was more where you had what you would call poor sanitation facilities. And by poor sanitation facilities, the worst is the open defecation, where there is no facility at all. And the second worst is where you have just a pit latrine, which is not covered, meaning that flies are getting inside
the pit latrine,
eating what is there. Then you meet with them in the kitchen, or they meet with your child when it is seated around the environment, and they transmit, you know, those things. Mm. So out of that data, we notice that the households that were practicing the what you would call the open defecation were around 2.1%. And the households that had just a pit latrine, which is not covered, which we call an improved sanitation facility, they were 22%. So you can see it's a huge...
It's a quarter of the population.
Exactly. So when you talk about the potential of poor sanitation to affect the children is high, because we have higher numbers. And I think although we have very small proportion of the population, when you look at the real numbers, these are people. We are talking about people. So even if the proportion is small, we ought not to rejoice or to be complacent, because these are human beings. And the loss of one human being due to poor sanitation is quite a painful event in this century, as you have seen. Yeah. For all technical purposes, the pit latrine, which is very common in households, is treated as open defecation. It is that simple. The facilities being poorer in the rural household.
Poorer?
Yes.
I thought that would be a bit better because of the extra space.
Apparently not.
And fresh air.
Apparently not.
So it's worse in the rural
area. So you will get, like if you get all the rural households.
Yes.
In that sample. So you'll get that around 23% of them were practicing open defecation.
Open defecation.
But if you go to the urban households, I think because of the limits that, for instance, outside slums, this cannot be permitted, you only get 2.1%. So you can see the distance. I said the 2.1% because I was being conservative. Go on ahead. The part of stunting,
yes,
using the same data, so you had around 26% of the kids were stunted. And again, we have a glaring difference between the prevalence in rural households and in the urban households. So you can see again, turn those into numbers. You had 18,600 children. You are saying around 30% in the rural areas are stunted. And overall, you are saying 26 are stunted. And those are human beings. They are children. Even in terms of what you call children rights, what are you talking about?
Wow. Listeners, we may be using a word stunted, but think about it this way. You meet a 17-year-old or a lady or a child who says they're 17, but when you take a look at them, they look like a 10-year-old.
Yes.
In all fairness, is wearing the clothes of a 10-year-old.
Yes.
And
if you classify them in the other 17-year-olds in that village, the child is too, the person is too short.
Too short.
So you do that for... You line up all the children in that village who are less than 5 years. So you'll notice that there is a child who is too short for their age.
For their age,
so whether you are 1 year old, you are too short for a 1 year old.
Yes.
Or you are too short for a
2 year old. So or 5 year old.
Those are the ones we collect and we say that they are stunted.
They are stunted.
They are not growing towards where their age
they should be. Yes. And all this comes to sanitation,
yes,
open defecation.
Yes, yes.
In your work here at the State Department of Planning, have you seen a big difference where a community comes and says, okay, you've educated us, and now let us build a pit latrine?
Yes.
Just one?
Yes.
Have you seen it make a difference?
So they can build it? There is another aspect of behavior. The toilet can be there, but no one is going inside.
You know, that's the problem that is in the literature.
Exactly.
A lot of NGOs are building pit latrines.
Yes.
But for the community to accept to go use that toilet And some will even tell you, I go and defecate behind the pit latrine.
Yes.
And you don't know what to tell the person.
I think because that is what they have known. There are things that we do which become part of our socialization.
Yes.
And it takes a lot of longer and many years of intervention to try and change the perception of that person. So perhaps changing an 80-year-old or a 70-year-old is harder than changing a child who is going in school, because they are still in the formative stage of mind. You can change their perception. That is why a lot of education programs are supposed to also target the children. You target so many people based on where they belong, because you cannot go and teach an 80-year-old about the importance of a toilet the way you would do to a child in school. Also, some other interventions about like washing hands when you visit that toilet, or the consequences. A child in school may understand what you are saying, because they are seeing the consequences of children diarrheaing and perhaps even dying in school. But the 80-year-old, maybe they attribute the death of children to diarrheal diseases to maybe witchcraft. So you need to coin the message based on the person that you are giving it to. The number of households in rural areas which are using the unimproved, the hole, just the hole.
The pit latrine without a cover.
It's 46.2. Almost half of the rural households are using.
That's close to 50%.
And we have said that this is almost like open defecation. In the urban areas, it's the same. Even overall, it's the same. That unimproved facility has the highest. A lot of households are using the unimproved facilities. Very few households are using the safely managed. I think it's 5.8% in the whole country. Environmental agents literally mix up the whole thing. They pick things from the excreta and they return it to the households.
Those flies.
So that one needs like a massive, all the NGOs and all the money they have and all the techniques they have, as well as what you would call policy, and also some push with the money from the ministry responsible for public health.
We need to do much more for the people in the rural setting.
Yes. So that incident, I think we had a long time ago, where public health officials used to visit home by home, either telling you to construct toilets and persuading you towards using them. You see, we also have to have some home-based solution. These toilets are not going. So you need to educate households the importance of not defecating in the open at all. But then you need to take them at their pace, because you don't expect I have a house which is thatched and it has no cement floor, but you expect me to build a toilet that has a slab. That is not going to work. So you have to have what you call a transition mechanism to make sure that the people in open defecation at least graduate to a toilet with good practices, the people in pit latrines graduate to a slab, and all this depends on so many other things, including education and the earning capacity of that house that they can fund that infrastructure, of course, plus the behavioral part of it.
We first are sensitized them and then show them the importance, and they take it up themselves.
Exactly.
It's not just pouring money.
Yes.
Wow.
And it is important to transmit this message.
Mm.
Why is a child having repeated episodes of diarrhea? When a child goes to the hospital, they go there for curative. They are already sick. But who is going to follow up to establish why this child is suffering consecutive episodes of diarrhea?
Not many.
What is wrong in the house? So apart, the child may be feeding properly, but what is happening, you know, at that particular point in time? Because you notice that the open defecation problems are even worse where you have a lot of water, because the water is carrying the vectors.
Yes, the bacteria.
The fly is carrying the vector. So you have so many movements, you know, across the two spectrums.
This broadcast, Health Talk Radio Africa, is all about giving solutions.
Yes.
The listener wants to hear a solution.
Yes.
What solution can you give, one, to the mama or who is in an informal sector, let's say in our urban area? I'm going to really bring out that horrible problem that we are having. I think it's unique to Kenya.
Yes.
The problem of the flying toilets. This, as I talked to Doc, a flying toilet is Suppose you are a person wants to have an urge and defecate. They would look for a plastic bag and they would defecate inside the plastic bag, and they would tie the plastic bag, throw the plastic bag as far as they can get.
Yes.
And forget that that plastic bag may land on a person, the plastic bag with feces may land on a child, or it will burst out in the street and spread fecal material. That's our problem in Kenya, Eastern yes. Africa.
So you are telling the person in the rural areas, you can dig even a temporary toilet or
yes.
a temporary disposal pit.
Yes.
The reason why people use flying toilets, you don't even own space for that hole. They don't even have that facility in the first place.
Yes.
So this is, you'll find that even where there are toilets, there is a charge. So if I'm charging 10 shillings for one person to go to the toilet, you can imagine I have five children, or two children. So what is 20 shillings per day, or maybe 40, let's say, because you have to count the number of times the person has to go to the toilet.
And it's not once.
It is not once, it is not twice. So
it
like any other problems,
times.
Like even water.
Yes.
So these people don't have a choice. I would put the burden back on the public provision of those facilities. They can share, because we have seen even shared facilities, they do make use of them. But where you don't have even a shared facility, then it means that they are going to resort to, this is a natural urge and it has to take place, whether or not I want it. Just the way we put for them lights.
We should put toilets.
Yes, and this is a public health concern. Those are the same people coming to work for us in eateries. Those are the same people coming to work for us in offices. Those are the same person coming to work. They are human beings and we mix with them on a day-to-day basis. And we should provide what you would call communal toilets. Then we can think about now how to convince them to take the wastes to the communal.
So step one,
yes.
Build community
yes.
toilets,
even if it is shared toilets.
Okay.
So the rural folks, they have space.
Okay.
So the issue one is either conducting construction campaigns. First, you start with education. Convince them that these things are causing sicknesses.
Yes.
Either to the kids or even to them. Because even it is not only the child. Even the adults suffer explosive diarrheal, you know, episodes. And
everyone, long as you're human.
As long as you're a human, you are going to get that disease. So, and then convince them. You see, putting up a small pit latrine saves you more money in terms of you are not getting sick. You won't have to pay. You won't die. You won't lose your life because of that. And then from there, once they start with the simple structures, then we can move on to the more sophisticated one again as they transit up there. Yeah. Remember that these people have children who are going to school. We are also educating those children on the importance of toilets and different classes of toilets. So if the kids become of earning capacity in future, they are the ones to change those homes. So change comes in so many ways.
Yes.
But we have got to do something. We cannot have people in the rural areas defecating on the floor and they have space just like people in the urban areas.
And now what about the household level?
Yes. The houses.
The household.
So what the women can do is, the less educated a mother is, the higher the chances of repeated episodes of diarrhea, and the higher also the chances of stunting. It was very consistent. Mother's education level is very important. Now, you cannot public health education coined for that woman in the village.
Okay.
Issues of washing hands, issues of cleaning toilets, and now issues of forcing the young ones. She's an agent of change. She can have influence on her children. Once the toilet is put up, we will not have children defecating all over. So at least the staff is going to be covered. I remember in the village, we even used to be taught how to make a cover, a very simple cover. A child can make it for the toilet. You cover once you have used it. Once you go out, once you come in, you uncover, you do your thing. Then you cover and you go out.
The pit latrine.
Because what you are preventing is people, insects getting in, and outside.
Out.
So if you block them inside, that's okay.
That's okay. here at Health Talk Radio Africa, we are all about giving you solutions. You're wondering, what can you do at household to ensure your child grows to their full potential? The ultimate goals are to remove children from where there are feces and stop fecal bacteria from entering their mouth and being swallowed. During infancy, the mother and caregiver must wash their hands with soap and water before breastfeeding or giving any food to the infant. As the child begins to crawl and run around the homestead, the environment must be clean as possible. Children explore their environment by touching and putting things in their mouth. All animal feces or droppings should be swept. Fecal bacteria found in animals such as chickens, dogs, are extremely detrimental to the child's intestine. There should be no defecating in the place where the child runs and plays. Keep chickens and dogs away from where children are crawling, running, and playing. In a rural setting, a basic pit latrine with a slab and cover will prevent insects from reaching fecal material or feces. The insects can spread fecal bacteria into food and water. A hand washing station, complete with soap and water, should be close to the latrine or be in a central place accessible to everyone in the homestead. In an informal area such as a slum, things become tricky due to congestion and lack of space. A small portable toilet can be used and the fecal material be disposed of in community or government toilets within the slum. Children should never play where there is raw sewage or flying toilets as seen in Eastern Africa. Improve water storage inside the household. All water storage containers should be covered all times to prevent contamination. If possible, water should be chlorinated at the point of use, boiled or cooled down before drinking. Listeners, I thank you for tuning in today. A very special thank you to our guest, Dr. Mary Karumba. Listeners, if you are listening to this episode, you are listening using a smartphone, tablet, or a laptop. You will agree with me that many people, especially mothers and caregivers, need to hear this episode. Please allow me to challenge you. Share this episode with a minimum of 2 people, especially your loved ones in the rural areas, informal areas of our continent, such as slums. You can save a child. Again, listeners, thank you for joining me here at Health Talk Radio Africa. I always welcome your comments on this program. Just drop me an email at healthtalkradioafrica@gmail.com. Until next time, listeners, eat healthy so you can live healthy. Bye. Bye for now. Bye-bye.